How's everybody doing today? Nice. You got to love the weather. It's going to get better. I love summertime. And I was kind of struggling with this message. As you can tell in the bulletin, it says Pastor Jim's message. Well, that's really not the title of my message. But I thought, you know, I want to do something that's a little bit of fun, but we can go ahead and learn. And a few years ago, probably four or five, actually, I did a message called Not So Common Courtesies. And it was just basically going in and going over some certain things that we do in life, how we live our everyday lives, and how that really does matter as believers. And we'll start in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." We talk about this all the time. When we become Christians, when we become believers, when we accept the gift that God gave us through his Son, through the shedding of his blood and his resurrection, that he atoned for our sin, that we are no longer required to pay that penalty. He died for us. When we accept that, we are then adopted into the family of God. And it says here in this verse right here, to equip his people for works of service. Part of maturing is serving. How many were here last week when Pastor Alex talked about serving? I thought it was an amazing message. It was a great reminder to me that when we become Christians, we sign up for whatever God has for us. We are his kids. We are not in charge anymore. We are called to be servants of Christ. And he will use us however he wants. And it is our job and our love for him that we do that in obedience. Part of maturing is everyday life. Part of maturing is serving. And we talk about, well, you need to serve. What does that look like in everyday life? Sometimes there's a disconnect. Well, yes, I serve. I love, I do this, I do that. But what is it when you boil down and you look at the things that we do in everyday doldrums of everyday life, what does that look like? So what I did is I came up with a list of things that we actually should be doing, I believe, in our everyday lives. We have to focus on, have a different perspective on what we do daily. Because we just do things out of habit, for the most part. We do the same things, and we don't really step back and look at how does that impact or affect other people around us. Because if we are truly called to serve, then we are called to serve in our everyday lives. And so I started looking at some areas, and a lot of this has to do with everyday life as far as your interaction with other people, going to the store, driving down the road. Now, and God often reminds me, Jim, you're supposed to be a Christian on the road too. And I get that, and that's the thing that I have to work on the most. Because everybody else out there is just a moron when it comes to driving, and I don't understand. But there are certain things that I wrote down, and I was going through the list 4 or 5 years ago, and I go, oh, wow, some of those things really apply to today, and some of those things are so outdated they have nothing to do with today. And where there's some new things that are coming up every day that are different. So we're going to take a look at a few things. Some acts of service. These are some of the things that I try to do. And the first one is when you go into the shopping center, and you see a cart in a parking spot, take it in with you. Take it with you. How many of you walk by it and go, well, that stinks for the next guy that wants to park there? Take it with you. You are actually serving the next person who wants to park there. And it drives me crazy. I don't understand, especially at Walmart, I don't understand how someone can push a cart throughout Walmart for an hour and a half, fill it up with groceries, push it to their car, but they can't walk that extra 30 feet to put it in the barn. I don't understand that. And I saw this young person the other day, and they parked right next to the handicap spot. At least they didn't park in it. I'll give them that. And she just had her little thing and did this, and then she pushed it right into the handicap spot, got in her car, and left. But I don't understand. They can walk around in the store forever, but they can't put a cart back 20 feet away. It's actually an act of service. If you see one, grab one. I taught my girls the very same thing. When we walk in and we see carts, I grab it. Or what's even better is if you see someone who's emptying the last things out of their cart, go over to them and say, hey, do you want me to take that for you? You should. People's face light up. When you do something as simple as helping them, keeping them from walking 30 feet, their eyes just like, oh. And you know what? You know why they act like that? Because very few people do that. The things that I'm talking about today, Christians should be leading the charge. They should know that we are Christians by the way that we treat them. God's love for us should flow through us to other people on a daily basis. It's not about how you act, how you talk, how you don't talk, how you don't act on a Sunday in church. Everybody puts on their best face. Everybody. It's what are you doing outside of these walls? So if you see a cart, take it in. If you're in line and you have a large amount of items and someone comes behind you and only has a few items, let them go. It is amazing how much joy you can bring to someone with just a simple act of service. It is amazing. Okay, here's one. And this is for the young kids, the boys in here that want to date sometime in your lives. I'll tell you what. When you're dating, especially when you were dating my daughter, you had to go through me first. And there was nothing more impressive to me than a young man who offered to help no matter what it was. You want to impress parents as a young man? Work on serving. Work on offering to help. If the father's out in the backyard mowing the lawn, go out there, say hello, and offer to help him. It's very important on the impression that you make on the parents. So practice acts of service, and you may get up a few notches in dad's eyes. And that's huge, because there were not a whole lot of young men who went up notches in my eyes. There's two of them in here now. And those are the only two that ever made it past that. There are times that when we need to be served. There are times, like we have our project share. There are times when in our lives we will go through seasons where we need to receive. We need to receive encouragement. We may need some food. We may need certain things. That's what the fellowship is about. But the thing is that I've noticed that a lot of people that take and 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 then do not pay back. It is okay to take. It is okay to receive. But when God blesses you and gets you through that, guess what? It's your turn to turn around and do the same for someone else. It is an act of service. It's okay to receive, but then you know what? Turn around and give back. Amen? All right. part of maturing. Let's go on to the next part. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I love that it says clothe yourselves. It means put on. It means do something extra that you don't have inside of you right now. Clothe yourself, and we're going to look at kindness. Kindness in our society on a daily basis between people is rare. And as Christians, we should be leading the charge. You know, the nicest people that I have ever met were Mormons. And the people that I've talked to that have friends and family who are Mormon, they say the very same thing. I've never had anyone come up to me and say, you know, the nicest people I've ever met are Christians. And that's sad. They understand, the Mormons do, I believe, understand kindness and courteousness and humility better than Christians, and that is sad. We as Christians should be leading the charge in kindness, in putting in kindness. In fact, some of the Christians I've met have been some of the most cantankerous, ornery people I've ever met in my life. And I look at them and I go, I don't see God in you. I don't see God in that behavior. We should be leading the charge in putting on kindness. Acts. So we're going to look at some acts of kindness, some things that I've noticed. If you're on a bus, or we were traveling in Phoenix, and we were riding the light trail, the light rail. And if you are a man and you are sitting down and there is a woman standing up, there's something wrong. Gentlemen, we need to honor and show kindness to women. Now, there are some women that probably won't accept that, but you know what? I was taught, open the door for people. If you're standing or sitting and a woman is standing, offer your seat. It's just showing common kindness. It is looking at other people's needs above our own. You may have had a horrible day, your back hurts, your shoulder hurts, whatever. It doesn't matter. Acts of kindness go a long way to showing people the love of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we should be leading the charge. Hold the door open. It is amazing how many people do not hold doors open anymore. It just boggles my mind. How long does it take to hold the door open for someone? Or are we thinking, well, if I let them in first, then they're probably going to get in line, and I just gave up my spot in line. But, well, you know what? Get over it. Hold the door open. Say hello. Holy smokes. You walk down the street, downtown Spokane, and most people walk in a bubble. And they do not say hello. And just a simple look in the eye, acknowledging that there's someone else there, and actually saying hello can make a person's day. But it is amazing how many people do not say hello. And one thing that I have noticed, and I don't know what they're putting in the water at some of the schools, but when kids grow up and they get into those senior high, they have a tendency to say hello a lot less. I don't know what it is. When they were little shavers, they used to say hello. And then all of a sudden, there's a blindness that happens and they don't see old people anymore. But it's important to say hello. It is acknowledging. It is putting someone above yourself. It is going out of the... It's a simple thing to do. But it's rude to walk by someone, especially someone you know, and not say hello. Now, you know what? I understand that on a Sunday, we should be trying our best to say hello to everybody. but you may not be able to say hello to everybody. As a pastor, it's almost impossible. And then some people leave. It's like, well, he didn't say hello to me. Pastor Jim, I didn't say hello. And I've heard other people say, well, you know what? So-and-so walked right by me and didn't say hello. Well, did you say hello? So you're both guilty of being rude, yet you're mad at them for being rude. But it's okay for you to be rude. I don't get that. Say hello anyways. You know what's really, really cool is my neighbor that I used to have. He was a piece of work. He was a thorn in my side. And I called the cops on him so many times. And I knew crime check, 456-2233. And I would call, and they'd recognize the number, and they'd go, oh, Jim, what's he doing now? And it got to the point where I didn't even want to go home. He was so cantankerous. He was so rude. He told me, you might as well go get your guns, Jim, because there's going to be a war. And I'm going, I just want to live my life. He was addicted to drugs. He brought prostitutes to the house. It was just horrible. Got two young girls you're trying to raise, and he's out taking pictures of a prostitute prancing around with his puppy in the backyard. And I got to the point where it was like, I believe in curses. And it got to the point where I was like, I was done. I just was done. And I just went to God and I says, you know what, God, I want you to get rid of him. He's got to go. And I got no answer. Oh, great. So then I was in prayer one time and he goes, you know what, Jim? The Bible says, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And then I thought, yeah, but you weren't living next to that guy when you had that recorded in the Bible. And he goes, I said, love your neighbor no matter what. There's no unless. There's no asterisk there. It says love your neighbor. And so I thought, oh, great. So then I just felt God saying, you need to start praying for him. And then I grabbed onto that verse that says, when you pray for your enemy, it's like heaping hot coals on their head. And I was able to grab a hold of that. And God says, no, that's not the reason I'm not telling you to pray for him. He says, I want you to show him kindness. And so every time I saw him, I waved all fingers. And I said, hello. And I got the wave back, but it wasn't all fingers. And I said, see, this is what I'm dealing with. He says, love your neighbor, period. He was telling me, I need to be the Christian. I need to show God's love to him, even if it's not reciprocated. And so every time I saw him, hi, Doug. And after about 150 hi, Dougs, he stopped flipping me off. And he actually needed help one time, and he came over and he asked me, and I said, sure, I'll help you. And then right after that, he died. Yeah, it was like, and you know what? I don't know if my God's kindness that he was telling me to show Doug had any effect on him for his eternal life or not. I'm hoping it did. But we are called to love our neighbor no matter what. Smile. It is amazing how much just a smile can make your day. When I go through the hospitals, I smile. Most people that are in hospitals aren't in a real happy mood, but I smile anyways. If I can be just a small blessing to someone who's being wheeled into surgery with a smile, I've done my job. But it feels so much better to angle it this way than it is this way. Yet people walk around with the furrowed brow and the upside down smile, and they're just angry all the time. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. Can you officially call it a bumper sticker if it's not on the bumper? I don't know. That just popped into my weird head. But I saw a bumper sticker that wasn't on a bumper, and it said, "I choose to be grateful today." And I went, wow. You're not just naturally grateful. You have to put on, you have to clothe yourself with being grateful. We have to clothe ourselves. We have to make a conscious effort to clothe ourselves with kindness. And we need to do it on a daily basis. Here's a good one. Let people in traffic. Let them in. And I have a hard time with this one. I don't have a hard time letting people in, but I do have a hard time letting people in who are forcing themselves in. Then I got a problem. And you know what? That's not Christ-like. Jesus said when he was being crucified, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing." And I don't know about you, but being crucified is a lot worse than being cut off on the road. I don't have a right to be angry when people drive the way they do. It's a natural outpouring of my personality. I need to clothe myself in kindness. I need to consciously, with every effort of my being, try to be kind when people don't deserve it. Amen? When someone lets you in, give them the wave. That ticks me off when I let someone in and I don't get the wave. Didn't get the wave. God, I believe in curses. It's simple. It's really simple. You go like this. Everybody can do that? Or a smile. It's amazing. And you know what? The majority of drivers out there are not that bad. It just takes a couple to ruin the road for everybody. But we're supposed to be kind to them too. And I struggle with putting on that kind of kindness. I'm just going to be honest with you. All right, we're going to talk now about some general courtesies. The life that we live in, things are always changing. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves." Ooh, that's a hard one. Honor other people above yourself. That is not the American way. It should be the Christian way. But unfortunately, we get influenced by the culture that we live in. And there are certain things that you need to teach to young men. Being a youth pastor, I greet people with a handshake. When those young men came in, I taught them how to shake hands. There is nothing worse. You are not going to make an impression on a good father when he comes and says, "Hello, nice to meet you," and you give him the, "Hey." So, oh yeah, you're going to be strong enough to handle my daughter in the future. No. Look him in the eye. Firm. Shake. It's pretty simple, but it's amazing how many of our young people don't know that. And the reason they don't know that is because we have a lot of AWOL fathers. They're not around to teach them those things. So a firm handshake. When you're out eating with other people, you wait to get your food until everyone has their food. It's just a common courtesy. It is putting others above yourself. Another one. This one drives me crazy. When you're sitting at a light and you're a driver and you like to crank your music, I like to crank my music. And it's in this summertime or whatever, and your windows are down, and you come to a stoplight. Turn your music down a little bit. They may not appreciate your music. There's nothing worse than a person pulling up next to me with the thumping music going on and the foul mouth rap. My ears are being invaded by stuff I really don't want to hear. Now, some people feel that way about country music. I love country music. Don't get me wrong. But putting others above yourself, you look for opportunities that if you're going to offend someone, try to avoid that. Pull up to the light, turn your music down. Once you get started again, crank it on up. The best way to not get invited back to my house for a meal is to chew with your mouth open. Oh, mama. And I was taught that by my father. I don't want to see your food. I have my own. I don't want to hear your food being chewed. I have my own. But my dad used to stick with a fork if he heard us chewing with our mouth open. We'd get a quick with a fork. If you're a gum chewer, I'm not even going down that road. This one is just because I'm old. All right? Let's just get that out of the way. I'm old. But pull your pants up. I drive downtown, and this is where I work, and these guys are walking, and they have to walk like this because their pants are down here. And I thought, boy, if a bear ever shows up, I ain't getting eaten because I know I can outrun that dude, and I'm old. If you see more of your underwear than you do your pants, there's something wrong. I said, I'm old. I get that. All right. If you have to take a phone call, excuse yourself. Go and take your phone call. And another thing that I notice is technology and phones now is really, really good. So you don't have to talk like this when you're on the phone. I go into hospitals. And people are in the waiting room. Yeah, he's in the surgery now, and they're pulling out his gallbladder, and got a little messy. It's like, I don't want to hear this. The technology is really pretty good. You don't have to scream into the thing. It's not a bullhorn. Just be aware of where you're at and the other people around you, and honor them above yourself. Next one, texting. Texting, I when you're with someone and you're texting with someone else, you're telling that person that you're with that person is more important than you are. And what's interesting is when you're with the person that you were just texting and the other person's gone, guess who they're going to do? They're going to text the other person that's not there. It is amazing watching young people. When we went out to a restaurant and there was a bunch of young people and they were having pizza together, and there was six of them, I believe. Every single one of them was on there. And I'm going, what in the world? I don't get it. It's rude to sit there and text constantly while you're visiting face-to-face with someone. Just so you know. When someone texts you, respond. just let them know you got it. You may not be able to do what they've asked or whatever. Just send back a okay or a not now, I'm busy. But just there's nothing worse than the send out a text and then you get that little bubble that shows up and it goes dot, 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 and then it disappears. And then it comes back, dot, dot, dot. Oh, they're gonna respond now. It disappears. It's common courtesy. Just respond if someone sends you a text. Or say, sorry, I couldn't get to the phone. Or no, that's a bunch of baloney. Young people, have your phones with you 24/7. Don't give me this, oh, yeah, well, I left it in the other. No, you did not. When you say you're going to do something or be somewhere, then do it. Honor your word. And if you can't make it, let the person know. Sorry, can't make it. No problem. I have no problem with that. But sitting there waiting 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, no show, what's going on, haven't heard, did they die in a car crash, I don't know what's going on, were they killed in a tragic blimp accident, I don't know. Just send out a nice little, hey, running late. And then respond back, K. I love the K. It's one letter. My thumb usually hits the K. Doesn't hit all the other ones for some reason, but it can hit the K. Okay, here's a new one. The other day I was at Walmart, and sometimes I just go there just because it's fun. And I've got my cart, and I'm traveling around, and there's these two girls following their mother. She's pushing the cart, and the two girls are on their phone. And I go, what in the world are they doing? And then I realize this scourge called Pokemon. And I'm going down the aisle. I see a few faces going, what in the world is that? Well, Pokemon was a game back in the 90s. It was a card game. And evidently you tried to get more Pokemon. I don't know. Lloyd, do you want to come up and explain this thing? But now there's an app that they put Pokemon in different places all over the world. And you get them, you get that app, I guess, download the app, and then you travel around and you capture these Pokemon that are like in the air. I don't know. But what it is doing, it is causing some problems. There are some deaths affiliated with Pokemon. You can get them anywhere, out in the desert, out in the wilderness, you can get them. I have a Pokemon in the back of my house. So if any of you need a certain Pokemon, because the other day I look out in the back and there's this big field and there's this girl. She's like this. Out there by herself. Just, and I went, this is so weird. But then she finally caught her Pokemon and then she left. But these two girls were looking for the Pokemon in Walmart. Evidently there's Pokemon in Walmart. And I'm trying to maneuver, like, get around them or something, and a thought popped into my head. You know what? They should put that game on shopping carts, and while they're trying to get Pokemon, if I run them over, I get their Pokemon and bonus points. But I couldn't get around them, and then they were finally. I finally just went turned around and went the other way, and then I hear their yes. I got the, I don't have this one. Oh, wait, let me see. Just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what's going on around you and honor other people above yourselves. Amen? James 2:1 says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. So we wonder who we are to be kind to, who we are to give acts of service to. It says in the Bible that we are not to show favoritism. We are to do this to everybody. And is it that big a deal if we go, well, you know, that person really doesn't deserve this. In James 2:9, it says, but if you show favoritism, you sin. to show favoritism, to withhold an act of kindness or an act of service because you don't think that person is worthy, is a sin, according to the scriptures. We are not to show favoritism. It says in the Bible that we look at the outside and God looks at the heart. As his children, we need to become more focused on the heart and not the exterior package. Amen? All right. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, and I'm going to end this right now. So we're going to have, actually, no, just go ahead and stay there for just a titch more. No, come on up. It's time to Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgment of God rather than burnt offerings." This is God speaking to the nation through his prophet when they had completely gone away from his ways. And they had been exiled, and now they were started to come back, and they were going through the motions of worshiping God, but their heart wasn't in it. And he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire a heart condition that is right between you and I and you and other people rather than your worship, rather than your sacrifices, rather than your ritualistic stuff that you go through where there's no heart in it." The word for "I desire mercy," the word mercy there is actually chesed. Chesed. And it means mercy and kindness to God and to fellow man. I desire mercy and kindness between you and I and you and other people more than I value your sacrifices, more than I value you going to church on a Sunday. More than anything, I concentrate on the loving kindness and the mercy that you and I share and the same kindness and mercy that you share with other people. The word chesed actually comes from the root word that means to bow the head or bow the neck. It is a sign of humility. It is honoring other people above yourself. It is the relationship that you have with God that is paramount. But then that relationship should be seen in how we interact with other people on a daily basis. We are to serve others. We are to put on kindness and humility. We are to honor people above ourselves in everything that we do, everywhere that we go. You know, when you talk about people becoming mature in the Lord, a lot of people think, well, that's the person that really knows the Bible. They can really quote the Bible. Or that's the person that he's a pastor now. Or you've studied in seminary. Those are the mature ones. No, you know who the ones who are mature are? The ones that practice chesed. Their love and the kindness and the mercy that they receive from God, and you take that and you put it on to other people through your actions, through what we do, what we say on a daily basis. And when we do that, we honor God. Those are the things that he's called us as his children to do. We are to, first of all, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. In the Hebrew, it's called the Shema. But then he said, there's the one that's almost as great is to love your neighbor as yourself. We are called to be a light in the world. We are not called to judge whether the person that we are with or whatever is worthy of our kindness or our service. We are simply called to serve and be kind. Be compassionate. be humble. And that is how they know that we are Christians, is when we practice that on a daily basis. Amen? Please stand. You know, some of the things that I brought up today are simply personal preferences that I have. Things that, like, if you want to wear your pants down, whatever. They're not salvation issues. It doesn't mean I'm going to love you any less. Some people with the tattoos, you know, some people have tattoos, some people don't. Some people judge other people because they have tattoos. It's a personal preference thing. And we're not to look down on those people who we may disagree with. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we are to love one another, whether they have their pants down or they don't. Whether they have tattoos or body piercings or whatever, or they don't. We are to love one another, period. You may not agree with the ways some people act or behave or whatever. And you know what? If it boils down to it's not a salvation issue, then get over it. If it is a salvation issue, then we have some problems. But you know what? We need to turn the tide on what the general population that are not Christians think of Christians. Because we've gotten a bad rap, but in a lot of ways, we've deserved it. So let's turn that. And you know how we do that? One person at a time. It's Alsada going into her workplace and her coworkers seeing the love of Christ through her. It is me going into the hospitals and delivering a little bit of light into a really dark place with something as simple as a smile and a hello. But if we could learn to practice that on a daily basis, we might be able to change some people's minds on what they think about what being a Christian is all about. We're called to love one another. Love God first, and then love one another. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, because it instructs us. It helps us to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It helps us to become more mature. It helps us to become more like him. And we thank you for that. And it's not always easy. We are going to struggle. But you said that you would give us your spirit that would help us, that would guide us. And that in Christ, I can do all things for your glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Dismiss us now with your blessing and your grace and your mercy. And everybody said, amen. Have a great day.